Nehemiah was the wine taster for the king of Persia, which means the king of Persia was always afraid that people would try to assassinate him. And he had a wine taster to taste the wine every time before he tasted it himself. That way, if there was any poison in the wine taster would die and the king would live. And obviously, the king would only give this job to a person who's very, very trustworthy, because if the wine taster decides to poison the king, then there's no one to protect the king. And so he'll only give the job to someone very trustworthy, and that person was Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the king's wine taster. And he was in Shushan, which was where the king of Persia lived. And the book of Nehemiah opens up with a visit in the month of Kislev, when Hanani comes from Yerushalayim, and Nehemiah asks him something. What does Nehemiah ask Hanani? He asks him how the Jews are doing in Eretz Yisrael and in Yerushalayim. And what is Hanani's answer to Nehemiah? He says the Jews are doing not well, and the walls of Yerushalayim are broken and burnt, and the Jews are incredibly embarrassed, and they're in a very low down position. They're not, strong and powerful politically. The walls are burnt. They're ashamed. When Nehemiah heard this, he was very sad. He fasted. He mourned. He refused to sit on a regular sized chair. He davened to Hashem. All in all, he was sad and in mourning. And the rule was in Persia that you were not allowed to serve the king if you're sad or in a bad mood. In Megillas Esther, when Mordechai was dressed in the clothing of mourning, he was not allowed to enter the king's palace. And Nehemiah, because he's so sad, also takes a leave of absence. He cannot do his job because you're not allowed to be in the king's presence when you're sad. And finally, in the month of Nisan, Nehemiah feels that he's kind of gotten over it and that he's able at least to act, happy. He puts a smile on his face and he goes back to his job as the king's wine taster. And the first day that he's there tasting the king's wine, the king looks at him and says, "Nehemiah, why are you sad?" And Nehemiah is very frightened, because you're not allowed to be sad in the presence of the king. And who knows what punishment the king is going to dream up for him. So he's very frightened. This is in the month of Nisan. He's frightened because the king noticed that he was sad. And so he says a quick prayer, and then he asks something from the king. He says to the king, "King of Persia, please give me permission to travel to Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild Yerushalayim. Why shouldn't I be sad when the Jews in Eretz Yisrael are so weak, when the walls of Yerushalayim are in such a shameful state? Why shouldn't I be sad? Please give me permission to go to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild Yerushalayim." And the king answers Nehemiah and he says, "I give you permission. Just tell me when you're going to leave and when you're going to come back." Now, the person in charge of Eretz Yisrael before Nehemiah arrived was a Gentile by the name of Sanballat HaChoroni. And Sanballat HaChoroni was very, very powerful, and he was not happy. He did not want the Jews to regain their sense of pride and honor. He did not want them to have the security and the dignity of a walled city. He was not happy whenever good things happened to the Jews. And Sanballat HaChoroni is famous for trying six different things to stop the rebuilding of Yerushalayim and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. When Nehemiah arrived, he was very, very upset because he knew that Nehemiah was good news for the Jews, and he hated good news for the Jews. So he was upset by Nehemiah's arrival, because he knew that good things were in store for the Jewish people. Now, when Nehemiah first arrived, he did not know whom he could trust. There were many people who basically were afraid of Sanballat, or perhaps they agreed with Sanballat, and he knew that they would do anything to stop him if they knew what he was planning. And so, in secret, in the middle of the night, without anybody to help him, he woke up in the middle of the night and saddled his donkey, and he took 3 midnight excursions around Yerushalayim to map out all of the places where the walls of Yerushalayim were broken, all of the places where it needed to be fixed. And finally, after 3 nights, he had a complete map of all the places where the wall needed repairs, and he started giving out jobs. Every family in Yerushalayim, he gave them the job to repair the wall that was closest to their home. And when Sanballat hears about this, he tries 3 things to discourage Nehemiah from this project and to discourage Nehemiah's workers. The first thing that he tries is he starts to make fun of Nehemiah. And he's making fun of Nehemiah and he's making fun of the workers, and he also accuses Nehemiah and the workers of rebelling against the king. That was something that worked in Sefer Ezra, that when they accused the Jews of rebelling against the king, the Jews had to stop the work on the Beis HaMikdash, and here he threatens to make that same accusation. And again, he's making fun of the Jews. He says, "You Jews, you're so weak, you're so poor. You know, you'll never complete this task. It's too great of a task for you. The wall that you're building now is so weak. Even a fox could knock it down if it brushed against it." So basically, the first thing that he tries to do is he tries to make fun of the workers. He hopes that they'll stop their holy task because he's making fun of them. But of course, we know that the Yitzhar always, when you try to do something holy, you know, he tries to get people to make fun of you. And, you know, the proper response is simply to say to yourself, "I know that I'm doing the right thing. I know that I'm doing a good thing. And I'm just not going to pay attention to the people who make fun of me." That was Nehemiah's reaction. He basically ignored Sanballat's insults. He threatens to, he threatens to tattle and to snitch to the king and to accuse Nehemiah and slander him and say that he's rebelling. That was the second thing. And again, Nehemiah's response, he knows that the king trusts him. He was a wine taster, right, which needed the most trust in the whole kingdom. And so he's not scared of that. He ignores that attempt as well. And finally, the third thing that Sanballat tries to do is he sees that words are not going to help, and he decides to have a secret surprise attack on Nehemiah's workers. Maybe he'll try to break the wall in the middle of the night, or maybe he'll try to attack the workers and harm them so that they'll be too frightened to continue. But Nehemiah receives intelligence. There are some people who are loyal to Nehemiah, who hear about Sanballat's plans, and they tell Nehemiah there's going to be an armed attack on the construction project. And so Nehemiah arms the workers. He arranges them that some workers should have a shovel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. There are other squads, right, that are security squads that he arranges. He gives every group of construction workers a shofar, so that way if Sanballat attacks in one place, they can blow the shofar as a sign of distress, and all the other workers will drop what they're doing and rush to their defense. And so he arranges the people, both the workers and the security guards, in order to prevent any surprise attack from succeeding. And when Sanballat realizes that the attack is no longer a surprise, he calls it off. Now, aside from what Sanballat was doing, there was a different problem, which perhaps was a bigger problem for Nehemiah. And because of this problem, the people wanted to stop helping Nehemiah. And the problem was that most of the people working on the wall of Yerushalayim were volunteers. They were not being paid for their work. And they were not rich people, so they didn't have a lot of money in savings. And they basically had to take off from their jobs as farmers and as other things in order to volunteer to build the wall of Yerushalayim. And when they took off from their jobs, they weren't earning money, and their families back home, because they weren't going home every night, they lived far away, the families ran out of money, and they had to borrow money from the rich people who lived near to them. And those rich people lent them the money, and the time came for them to repay. And they didn't have money to repay because the husbands and fathers were still at Yerushalayim building the wall. And so the rich people said, okay, if you can't pay us, you need to, we'll take away your house, we'll take away your farm, we'll take away your children and sell your children as slaves. This was common practice in the olden days. If you could not repay money that you borrowed, they would not only take away your house and your land, they would even take away your children, and make them work until the loan was repaid. And when the volunteers heard that the rich people were confiscating their houses and their land and their children, they wanted to stop working on the wall and go back to their homes, go back to work so that they could get paid, so that their farms and their children would not be taken away. When Nehemiah realized that this threatened the success of his project, he told the rich people, you have to forgive the loans to these people.